We still don't have a majority. All right. We will vote between Mr. Iverson and Mr. McNutt. Just to test the House, those of you who support Mr. Iverson, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support Mr. McNutt, please hold. Mr. McNutt is elected.
Mr. Moderator, the committee places the name of Fred Marsh, Tennessee Valley, as alternate. You will see on the handbook that Edsel Farthing was, you know, brought to class of 80, and he was defeated, but Fred Marsh was nominated
by the committee to replace
Mr. Farthing, which appears in the handbook.
Microphone 11.
I'd like to nominate Edsel Farthing.
Farthing, Presbytery. Microphone 5.
Charles Champion, Covenant.
Champion. Microphone 10.
That's all. I'd like to nominate James Baird.
Baird. Microphone 11. You see, the motion has been made that nominations be closed. If you second the closing of the nominations, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. We'll put them up there. We'll vote in reverse order. Those who support the election of Mr. Baird, please hold up your hand. Down. Those who support the election of Champion, please hold up your hand. Down. Those who support the election of Mr. Farthing, please hold up your hand. Down. Those who support the election of Mr. Marsh, please hold up your hand. Down.
I think it's between Baird and Farthing, but I don't know. We're going to have a runoff between Mr. Baird and Mr. Farthing. Those who support the election of Mr. Baird, will please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Farthing, please hold up your hand. Moderators in doubt, I'm a little weary. We're going to count that. Those who support the election of Mr. Baird, please stand and remain standing until you're counted. Support the election of Mr. Farthing. Please remain standing. Remain standing until you're counted.
And Mr. Moderator, have an announcement. If any of the commissioners are planning to stay at Calvin College tonight and have not paid the $8 fee, you're asked to go to the desk at Nordevere to make arrangements. If you made arrangements for this when you registered, you are all right.
If you're going to spend another night and it's not anticipated, you have to go back where you registered and pay them $8. Oh, we're going to take two more nights.
be seated. Mr. Baird is elected.
Mr. Moderator, for the class of 1982, we place in nomination, the committee places in nomination, Neil Ham from Central Georgia.
Remind us where we are, please, sir.
Ruling Elder Class of 82 under Mission to the United States on page 1305.
Microphone number 9.
Mr. Moderator, may I have the appoint a personal privilege in making a nomination? The three men who have...
explanation is in order, but just no seconding speeches.
Okay. I'd like to nominate Mr. Lou Russell. Explanation, if Mr. Ham is elected, this would be three persons from Central Georgia, three from Macon, Georgia.
That is valid. Mr. Luttrell is what Presbyterian? Again? Texas. There are two names before us. We will vote in reverse. Oh, you want the mic? 13.
I'd like to place a nomination in the name of Earl Mizell from Central South Florida.
Earl Mizell, South Florida. We will vote in reverse order. Commissioners who support the election of Mr. Mizell, please hold up your hand. Down. Those who support Mr. Luttrell, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Ham, Mr. Luttrell is elected.
The committee places in nomination for alternate Murdoch Campbell, Gulf Coast Presbytery.
Are you seeking the microphone number 7?
Moderator, I'd like to nominate Dr. William Russell.
Dr. William Russell is being nominated. Presbytery?
Mid-Atlantic.
Mid-Atlantic. We will vote between these two men in reverse order. Commissioners supporting the election of Dr. Russell, please hold up your hand. Down. Commissioners supporting the election of Mr. Campbell. Mr. Campbell is elected.
Mr. Moderator, the commission on the mission to the world, we are to elect for the class of 1982 one teaching elder and two ruling elders. We place in nomination James L. Moss, Calvary Presbytery, for teaching elder.
Class of 1982, Mr. Moss is the committee's nomination. 14.
Mr. Moderator, I should like to place the nomination in the name of John Patterson. Let me give an explanation. You already have a man from Calvary Presbytery, the presbytery of which Mr. Moss is a member.
Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to place a nomination, Dr. D. James Kennedy, Southern Florida.
Kennedy, Southern Florida. Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, Bill Hughes, Mississippi Valley.
I would like to place the nomination Dr. Palmer Robinson.
Robertson from Mid-Atlantic?
Yes, sir.
Microphone 12.
State Fan Vangel, move that the nomination seat.
Move that the nomination be closed. Palmer Robertson, Jim Kennedy, Don Patterson, Jim Moss. We will vote in the reverse order in which they were nominated. Those of you who support the election of Palmer Robertson, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Jim Kennedy, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Don Patterson, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Jim Moss, please hold up your hand. Down.
We're going to have three, Patterson, Kennedy, and Robertson. A runoff between these three. Those of you who support the election of Palmer Robertson, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Jim Kennedy, hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Don Patterson. We're going to have a runoff between Kennedy and Patterson. And we're going to count the... No, we're not. We're going to see what happens first. Kennedy and Patterson. Those of you who support the election of Jim Kennedy, hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Don Patterson, we are going to count. Those of you who support the election of Jim Kennedy, stand and remain standing until you've been counted. Be seated. Those who support the election of Don Patterson, please stand and remain standing until you've been counted. I think Don got it. The overall page, doing the hood and the bottom, and well, what constitutes a complete cover plate there? Just punch a button, the whole cover comes out. But the text is done in one in columns, and the width of the columns can be adjusted. Dr. Patterson is elected, and will the members of the assembly please refrain from telling the session?
Mr. Moderator, we place in the committee places in nomination Neil Gilmore from Evangel Presbytery as alternate.
Neil Gilmore as alternate microphone 9.
Moderator, I place in nomination the name of Dr. D. James Kennedy.
D. James Kennedy, Southern Florida. Are you making the nomination? Get up here to the microphone.
Moderator, Dr. Palmer Robertson.
From Mid-Atlantic, microphone 11.
Moderator, I move the nomination, please.
We have three names. Dr. Palmer Robertson, Reverend James Kennedy, Reverend Neil Gilmore. If you favor the election of Dr. Robertson, will you please raise your hand? Down. If you favor the election of Dr. Kennedy, will you please raise your hand? Down. If you favor the election of Mr. Gilmore, will you please raise your hand? Dr. Kennedy is elected.
Mr. Moderator, for the class of 1982, ruling elders, we also elect two. The names submitted are Gerald Sovereign, Gulf Coast, and Donald Coleman, Central Georgia.
According to the procedure, the queue approved, any further nominations will be made against one of these men. I recognize microphone 9.
Michael Wooden, North Georgia Presbyterian. I would like to nominate in place of Gerald Sovereign, Tommy Petrus from Mississippi Valley Presbyterian.
Thomas Pizza.
Pizza.
Pizza. Spell it. Spell it.
P-E-A-S-T-E-R.
Pizza. Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, I move the nomination to close.
Hold it. Just stay right there. Microphone 7. Moderator, I'd like to nominate Dr. William Russell, Mid-Atlantic. For who? For who?
Oh. For this coma.
For this coma. So we have two names on each now, recognize you.
I move the nomination to close.
If you favor the closing of the nomination, say aye. Opposed, no. We will vote on the two names at the bottom first. Everyone may vote on this. If you favor Dr. Russell, will you please raise your hand? Down. If you favor Mr. Coma, will you raise your hand? Coma's elected. Now, everyone may vote on these two. If you favor Mr. Pizza, will you raise your hand? Down. If you favor Mr. Sovereign is elected.
The committee places in nomination for alternate 8C, Don Ascension Presbyterian.
Frank, you making nomination? Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Barker, Evangel, I'd like to place in nomination Tom Leppard from Evangel Presbyterian.
Tom Leppard. Microphone 9.
I'd like to place a nomination for this position, Tom Pizza.
Tom Pizza. We're going to vote on three names in reverse order. Before you use the name of Mr. Thomas Pizza, if you support the election of Mr. Pizza, will you please raise your hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. Leppard, will you raise your hand? Hold it. Down. If you support the election of Mr. Dom, will you raise your hand? You're going to have a runoff between Mr. Leppard and Mr. Dom. If you support the election of Mr. Leppard, will you raise your hand? Down. If you support the election, Mr. Dom will be raised on. Mr. Dom is elected.
Mr. Moderator, the Assembly Theological Examining Committee, we are in the committee where we incorrectly submitted nominee for the class of 1982, it really should be class of 1981, and therefore we would submit the name of Douglas Carver, Ascension Presbytery, which is under 82, and we want that to be for 1981. You are submitting the name of the Reverend Douglas Carver for the class of 1981. Yes, sir. And there will be no class of 1982, is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. Now, wait a minute. Does everyone understand? The nominations are for class of 1981, and the nominee of the committee is Reverend Douglas Carver. Microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, David Jackson, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. There is one mistake here, and I don't know what I should, I'm asking a question. In the class of 1979, Reverend Daniel Morris has left the Presbyterian Church of America and is now in the OPC, and we need to replace him. I got word through the committee that they...
Mr. Moderator, his alternate should move up. Is there an alternate for that?
Mr. Moderator, I just overlooked that. We did make that correction. We did get word that Mr. Morris had resigned, and we submitted the name of Elroy Taylor from Evangel Presbytery. I overlooked that name.
He leaves up automatically, I believe.
Mr. Moderator, I think if you look at the top of the page, the present alternate, John Robinson, he should automatically move in.
Yes.
And that would not take any election or any action. That's the automatic procedure.
John Robinson automatically moves in place of Daniel Morris. That means we do not have an election for an office of that class. That's automatic. All right. We have Douglas Culver before us. Microphone 7.
John Clement, Central Georgia. I'd like to place in nomination the name of Dr. Francis Nigel Lee. And I have no reason for that nomination.
Thanks for the microphone 8.
I'd like to place a nomination. Ron Harding, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery.
Ron Harding.
Microphone 10. I'd like to nominate James Stewart from Central Georgia Presbytery.
Microphone 15.
I'd like to nominate Reverend Roy Taylor of the Reformed Seminary and Evangel Presbytery.
Roy Taylor from Evangel Presbytery. Microphone 16.
I move nominations to close.
If you support closing the nominations, say aye. Opposed, nay. We will vote in reverse order. Taylor, Stewart, Harding, Lee, and Culver. If you support the election of Ms. Taylor, will you raise your right hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. Stewart, will you raise your right hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. Harding, will you raise your right hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. Lee, will you raise your right hand? Down. If you support the election of Culver, we're going to have a runoff between Lee and Culver. Runoff between Lee and Culver. If you support the election of Mr. Lee, will you raise your right hand? Hold it. Down. If you support the election of Mr. Culver, Mr. Culver is elected. Down. If you support the election of Mr. Culver, Mr. Culver is elected.
Mr. Moderator, we submit the name of William Jones, Covenant Presbytery, as alternate.
Mr. Jones is being nominated by the committee as the alternate. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place in nomination Elroy Taylor.
Elroy Taylor. Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place a nomination in the name of Dr. Palmer Robertson. Palmer Robertson. Get up to the mic there.
Mr. Moderator, I move nomination be closed.
Oh. If you favor the closing of the nomination, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We will vote in reverse order. Bill Shows ought to be up there. Those of you who favor the election of Mr. Robertson will hold up your hand.
Down. Those of you who favor the election of Mr. Taylor will hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Shows hold up your hand. The moderator's in doubt on all three. We're going to have to count. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Robertson,
stand and remain standing.
Till you're counted.
Be seated.
Those of you who support the election of Mr. Taylor, please stand. Remain standing till you're counted.
Those of you who support the election of Mr. Shows, please stand. Remain standing to the counting.
Be seated. Lord, it does it good.
We're going to have a vote between Mr. Robertson and Mr. Taylor, right?
Right. Runoff between Mr. Robertson and Mr. Taylor. If you vote for Mr. Robertson, will you hold up your hand? Down. If you vote for Mr. Taylor, will you hold up your hand? Mr. Robertson is elected.
Moderator, we place in nomination George Calhoun, Grace Presbytery, for the class of 1981, ruling elder.
Ruling elder for the Assembly Theological Committee, Mr. George Calhoun.
Microphone 13.
I'd like to place a nomination for the Elder John Barnes from Calvary First Church. John Barnes, Calvary First Church. We will vote between these two names in reverse order. Class of 1981. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Barnes, please hold up your hand. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Calhoun is elected.
Place in name Walter Gwynn, Mississippi Valley, for alternate.
Walter Gwynn for alternate. I see no one speaking to the microphone. Mr. Gwynn is elected.
Mr. Moderator, the Board of Trustees for the Presbyterian Church in America Foundation, and there has been a resignation of Russ M. Johnson from Mississippi Valley, and the committee places in nomination Tom Leppard, ruling elder from Evangel Presbytery.
Bottom of the page, class of 1980, for the replacement of Mr. Russ Johnson, the name of Mr. Tom Leppard. Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place nomination Mr. Jules Vroom, Southern Florida.
Jules Vroom. We will vote in reverse order. If you support the election of Mr. Vroom, will you please raise your right hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. Leppard, will you raise your right hand? Mr. Leppard is elected.
Mr. Moderator, we place in nomination for the class of 1982, teaching elder James E. Moore, Covenant Presbytery.
Mr. Moderator, this does not have to be divided between teaching
it's
and
elder. It's divided. Put them both up.
You have to have two teaching elders on it overall, but after that you can have any, the rest of them can be either teaching or reading.
We'll put up both names, Mr. Chairman.
All right, the other name is Steve A. White, Carolina Presbytery.
Nominations are two. We are putting up two names. Reverend James E. Moore and Mr. Steve A. White are being nominated by the committee as the two members of class 1982. Even though on the page they're separated, it is a single nomination. Microphone 11.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Green. I think he's from South Florida Presbytery.
Jules Green. Microphone 13.
You want to make him
the you don't have... Oh, that's right. He could be against the minister also, could he? Against him. Against him.
Against Mr. White.
Against Mr. White. Microphone 13.
I place a nomination in the name of William Swain from South Florida in opposition to Mr. White.
Swain in opposition to Mr. White.
Point of information that Bill Swain is continuing to go to work for the committee as a consultant in South Florida, so I don't think he'd be proper nomination.
Microphone 11.
I move you for a nomination, please.
It's been moved that the nominations be closed. If you support, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. You may vote for either Mr. Vroom or Mr. White. All of you may vote for either of these gentlemen. If you support the election of Mr. Vroom, will you hold up your hand? Down. If you support the election of Mr. White is elected. Mr. Moore is unopposed. He is elected.
Mr. Moderator, they were given to us a list of names for the Covenant College Board of Trustees, and there were, I believe, 9 or 10 names with the request to select 6 names for this board.
And the committee commits these six names: Frank Barker, William A. Carr.
Wait a minute. Mr. Commissioner, do not have them. We are writing them slowly up here.
All right. That's true. This is not in the commissioner's handbook.
Frank Barker. Again.
And William A. Carr.
William A. Carr is a ruling elder.
Ruling elder. Frank, of course, is teaching elder. And D. James Kennedy, teaching elder.
D. James Kennedy, teaching elder.
Paul Fetter, teaching elder.
Paul Fetter, teaching elder.
Martin Smith, teaching elder.
Martin Smith, teaching elder.
Lady Whitlock, teaching elder.
Lady Whitlock, teaching elder.
Jack Williamson, ruling elder.
He. Jack Williamson, ruling elder. These are the six men.
They are.
You got seven here, is that right?
They are all of them all in the room?
Well.
All right, microphone 10.
Wait a minute, point of order,
microphone 7.
John Clemens, Central Georgia.
It's moderator, when we adopted the report of the Committee on Christian Education,
we adopted the following statement in step 1 of the Joint Governance College. The College Board would be expanded from 24 to 30 members. The RPCS would elect 24, the PCA elect 6. From a list of PCA men nominated by the RPCES. Now, I'd like to ask the chairman if he has the 13 names that the RPs voted on at their assembly.
Yes, sir. This is the list of names that was given to me.
Okay, those are the 13 names that the RP Synod has approved. Those are the only names which this assembly may choose from unless we vote to reconsider step 1 of the Joint Plan of Government.
If not, then he ought to read the other names. But in other words, these are their preference, and then you ought to read the names, all 13 names.
Any further nominations would have to be from the rest of the list.
Yes,
sir. And Mr. Moderator, we have an error here, and it's my fault because it was picked up incorrectly. Dr. Morton Smith's name did not appear there. Sorry about that, Mr. Clerk.
But we added his name, and it could not be there.
Well, read us the other name.
The Reverend Dave Bryson and Norman.
These are not nominations. Don't put them down there yet. These are not nominations.
All right, let's read the other.
All right, David Bryson is the other one, and Norman Cortese, Cortese, John Fett,
Fort,
yes, sir. Dr. David Nicholas, Dr. Morton Smith, Mr. Oliver Smith, Mr. Moderator, I have a name inscribed here. These others are typewritten, and then I have a name inscribed there, and I'm not sure just how that got there. Reverend Phil Clark.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yes, sir. The Reverend Phil Clark would make the 13th name.
Now, my understanding is that if you want to make any nominations to replace the suggestions of the committee on the left, they would have to come from the left and the right, if you wanted to do so. Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, Ted Green in Central Florida. I have a motion that I think might expedite matters, if I may. I will need your help
regarding a society.
I move that the four PCA elders currently serving on the Board of Covenant College, namely, John Parker, Dr. Little Whitlock, Jack Williamson, and Dr. Bill Hall, be elected by the Assembly, and that we then proceed to elect two new members to the Board.
If I can get a second, I would like to speak to it for 45 seconds.
I'll accept it, but I'm going to rule that that constitutes a nominating speech for 4 men and not a separate motion. In other words, you're supporting 4 men rather than offering a separate motion. This is an election procedure, and you're really saying, I think these 4 ought to be retained. It's what you're saying. And I don't mind you saying that, and I allow it. But I'm not going to divide the motion on an election and leave 6 men, no sir. Not unless the assembly overrules me.
Would it be improper for a substitute motion?
I don't know what you mean to be the same thing?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying that I believe you have 6 men for election.
Okay.
And that you are saying that in your opinion, 4 of these are already on the board and they certainly should be retained. That's what you're saying. I don't think you need to have a motion to say that, and I think a motion would be improper. You have let these 6 men, you've expressed a preference for 4, and you are giving a reason why you think those 4 should be retained. And that's a perfectly proper thing to do, and I appreciate you doing it.
Mr. Moderator, now he has the right of appealing your ruling if he wants to.
Appeal my ruling to the assembly.
Moderator, I've got to
advise me when I go to the seminar to wait 3 years before I spoke. It's my first time speaking. I hate to appeal to moderator.
But I will
make it not on behalf of the 4 men, but on the proprietor of maintaining a course. I will appeal to moderator.
All right, so he's appealing
the rule of the moderator as the propriety of a separate motion in an election process of this kind. If you will support the moderator, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Go ahead. You have moved the election of 4 men, and then you want to elect 2 more separately. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, is there a second to your motion? It has been seconded.
Mr. Moderator, I'll just take a second because I think my time is obvious. In the next year or two, there will be many transitions that need to be taken place at Kevin College. It would seem like the most expeditiously way to handle this is for the 4 men who are currently serving, who know the policies, know the facilities, know the financial base, know the hiring practices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, be retained to better accept this transition period.
Your motion is debatable. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, I don't really want to debate the motion from Boston Ranger. My problem is that, unless I'm mistaken, at the last meeting of the Board of Trustees at Kevin College, it was mentioned that Dr. Luther Fitlock felt that he should resign as a trustee because of the duties that he was taking up at Reform Seminary as acting president of Reform. The leader was here a minute ago.
And then you should accept that as a comment. Microphone 12.
Wayne Rogers, Western Carolina Secretary.
These 4 men, I have a question. These 4 men have already been elected to the board. If we do not re-elect them, does that mean they go off?
If you don't re-elect them, they go off.
Thank you.
Microphone 14. Just a point of information to the court, all of the names brought before the assembly here have been contacted by the RPCEF. They are acceptable to the RPCEF. They have been contacted personally by the RPCEF.
How did you say that?
I'm saying that.
Oh, you're saying
that. As a point of information in reply to what?
Oh, yes, sir.
And these names have concurred that their names may be in
nomination.
All right. We are now...
I'm going to take that the sustaining the moderator, I mean not sustaining the moderator, constituted a vote on the proposal, which is to say that the General Assembly did approve electing four first, and that will not require a second vote on whether or not you want to do that. Well, now, why in the wide world would you have to vote again when you've already voted once to accept the brother's proposal? Not for man.
I like to move that nominations be closed.
And if you move the nominations be closed, you're doing it on the floor.
On the floor, then.
All right, the motion has been made that nominations be closed on the floor. And it's been seconded. If you want to close the nominations on the floor that are being voted on separately, say aye.
Aye.
Close nay. If you support the election of these four who have served on the board, will you say aye?
Aye.
I'm not sure that's right. That's what I didn't like about this motion.
If you oppose the election of these four, will you say nay? They are elected. Now we're going to work on two names, and the floor is open for nominations in the place of either or both of these two, Dan, not for 10.
I would move that the two names submitted by the committee, the nominations committee, be accepted and the nominations be closed.
I'm not going to accept that motion. We have two nominees, and you can nominate from the floor. And a motion of that kind does not constitute a further nomination. March 27.
Moderator, I would place a nomination of Dr. Morton Smith in place of D. James Kennedy. March 11.
This moderator, Paul Fettis, in charge of the secretary, I would like to request that my name be removed. I was not, of course, I was told second or third hand that my name might appear on the list. I'm serving on two General Assembly committees.
Three?
My session
has not given me a vote of no confidence as yet. I'd be happy to say that the Assembly wills, but I would appreciate
being allowed to not declare 16.
Moderator David Crocker, Evangel Presbyterian. Could someone please indicate which of these men are ruling elders?
They're all three.
Two, three elders.
I believe. Oh, you mean the one from the right?
I beg your pardon, the one from the right.
Who are ruling elders from among the list on the right?
Can someone...
Oliver Smith is the master. Pat, Kevin Fader, Pat P. That seems to be the list.
Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to nominate Mr. Morton Smith in the place of Paul Settle.
Isn't that Morton up there?
Morton's already up there in the place of Kennedy.
Yeah.
I've been putting him up.
Right. All right, he's been playing opposition to me. March 27.
Mr. Moderator, Vaughn Hathaway, Great Secretary, I move that the request of Mr. Settle be granted.
No, sir, you can vote him down if you want to move that his request be granted.
Mr. Moderator, the gentleman made a request to the Assembly simply courtesy. You should say whether that request is acted, is going to be honored or not. It's a perfectly proper thing for the Assembly to do. The last thing I heard Mr. Settle say was that I would be willing to serve at the will of the Assembly, but
it to me did not sound like a specific request for withdrawal. Microphone 15.
Now, Mr. Bizarre, I'd like to place the nomination of David Nicholas for Mr. Sutter. David Nicholas and Miss Sutter. Microphone 11.
Moderator Bill Barton, South Florida. I'd like to take Mr. Norman Cortese's name against Mr. Sutter, please.
Cortese against Mr. Sutter. Microphone 9.
Dr. Robert, Secretary of the Attention, I'd like to nominate Mr. Phil Clark over against Mr. Sutter. And just note that, to my knowledge, everyone that is nominated other than Mr. Clark is from the South, and it would be helpful to have someone from another segment of the country.
Hey, Mr. Clark, you can ask the question.
Settle Nicholas, then settle Cortese, and then settle Clark, and then settle next man. Or do we go one of those four?
We go one of those four,
and then we go upstairs to the other list.
Microphone 10.
Moderator, how are we going to elect Morton Smith and Jim Kennedy to be on this board of trustees? It's my understanding that Morton Smith was also nominated against Paul Settle, and I think we all have an opportunity to vote that way. They looking at the two top men. Moderator Frank Barker, I'd like to nominate David Bison, associate pastor at the
First Mr. Moderator, we're going to have dinner
right now because the time for the worship service is here. And we ran overtime yesterday. We cannot afford to do that again. I think I'll not even make an announcement at this point.
Let us prepare for the worship of God.
The worship service will be under the direction of the Committee on Christian Education and Publication, and Mr. Tom Petit will be presiding.
Hear the word of God. Grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us, and who has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing together hymn 204, using the first three verses only. 204, verses 1, 2, and 3.
pray?
Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Eternal God, our Father, Lord of heaven and earth, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love, abundant in grace and truth. O God, your wisdom is seen in all your works, and your truth is revealed in your Son, Christ. And your power and presence are vouchsafed to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray now that you would confront us with the beauty of your holiness. You would cause us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And that you would accept all that we do, as we do so in the name and to the honor of Christ our King. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture lesson will be read by Reverend Elder Bob Miller, the New River Presbytery. And following that, the sermon will be delivered by the chairman of the Christian Ed Committee, Teaching Elder Don Clement of Central Georgia Presbytery. Let us hear the word of the Lord from the 13th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shahor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel prayed before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Sodom, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, now as we come to understand this word that you give to us, we pray for the illumination, the teaching of your Spirit, that the words of our speaker, that the thoughts and the understanding of our hearts might be right before you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Fathers and brethren, you didn't normally expect people today outside of the church to be at all concerned with the Ark of the Covenant. As a matter of fact, you would normally expect people in the church today to be at all concerned with it.
He said he may find it surprising as I did to discover that one of the best-selling books of the past several years, Erich von Däniken's Chariot of the Gods, a book with over 6 million copies in print, with a movie made on it, with a mini TV series that's running on many independent TV stations, that this book does have something to say about the Ark of the Covenant. The problem is, of course, that what it has to say is ridiculously wrong. Or is it? Let that Mrs. Von Däniken's words speak for themselves. And now I'm quoting. In Exodus 15:10, Moses relates the exact instructions which God gave for building the Ark of the Covenant. The directions are given to the very inch. How and where staves and rings are to be fitted, from what alloy the metals are to be made. The instructions were meant to ensure that everything was carried out exactly as God wanted it. He warned Moses several times not to make any mistakes. God also told Moses that he would speak to him from the mercy seat. No one, he told Moses, could come close to the Ark of the Covenant. And the very precise instructions about the clothing to be worn and the footwear appropriate in transporting it. In spite of all his care, there was a slip-up. David had the Ark of the Covenant moved, and Uzzah helped him move it, driving the cart it was in. When passing cattle hit the cart, he threatened to overturn the Ark of the Covenant. Uzzah grabbed hold of it. He fell dead on the spot as if struck by lightning. Still quoting. Undoubtedly, the Ark was electrically charged. If we reconstruct it today, according to the instructions handed down by Moses, an electric conductor of several hundred volts is produced. The border and golden crown would have served to charge the condenser, which is formed by the golden plate and a positive and negative conductor. If in addition one of the two cherubim on the mercy seat acted as a magnet, the loudspeaker, perhaps even a kind of set of communication between Moses and the spaceship, was perfect. The details of the construction of the Ark of the Covenant can be read in the Bible in their entirety. Without actually consulting Exodus, I seem to remember that the Ark often was surrounded by flashing sparks, and that Moses made use of the transmitter whenever he needed any help and advice. As I see some of you doing, I laughed when I first read this ridiculous story. But you know, the more I think about it, the more sad I think it is. For it certainly is a prime example of man approaching the Bible from his own point of view, thereby being forced to make false interpretations of it. And certainly Mr. Von Däniken has no real use for the scripture. The very first sentence in this chapter, a chapter entitled, by the way, Was God an Astronaut? The sentence reads, the Bible is full of secrets and contradictions. No, Mr. Von Däniken, the Bible has no contradictions. It contains no errors. It is God's word, and God's word is truth. God cannot lie. God has revealed himself to us in truth, not contradiction. Oh yes, there are some difficult passages to understand. Difficult items to interpret. We have one of them before us this morning. We will not make your error of placing our own ideas over the Bible and then decide the problem of Uzzah's death. No, we must first see what the Bible itself has to say about this and all issues. Now, before I go on, I want to make it perfectly clear that by quoting from Von Däniken's book, I know I endorse anything in it. I do so to show you that man, when left to his own means, is completely, totally unable to comprehend and understand the Holy Word of God. Well, then, what is the truth of this passage in 1 Chronicles 13 that lies before us this morning? Why did Uzzah die. What went wrong in the field of Sidon that day? Now, you must understand that something about the Ark of the Covenant is necessary to know before we understand the Exodus. Now, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't some battery to enable Moses and Joshua and David to talk to God in some spaceship. But what was the Ark of the Covenant? We could go into a lengthy study of all the many biblical passages that spell that out, footnoted 2,000 times. Books have been written, doctoral dissertations have been composed on just that subject. We don't have time to think. So I want to share with you the views of one more man. And this time, a man who knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. A man named Edmund Calvin. He's a great man, conformist preacher in England in the 17th century. And he was one of over 2,000 ministers who were forced to leave their pulpits on one day in August, 1562, when the government decided that one could no longer hold to Reformed theology. And they were not given the Church of England. So over 2,000 men were separated from over 2,000 congregations of Christians who they loved and who loved them. And he longed to hear the Word of God proclaimed in truth to them. Oh, what great days those must have been. And what sad days. One of the other men put out on that same day had this to say, I am apt to think I could do anything for this loving congregation. Only I cannot sin. The truth, beloved, the sentence has gone out against us. This is the last day that is perfect to us to preach. I cannot speak to you, God assisting me, if my conscience will give me leave, just as if I would speak if I were immediately to God. A word that God would grant to the Presbyterian Church in America. Men who felt so much love for their people and for the Word of God in its truth that preaching today would be as if they were about to die. And a word that God would grant to the Presbyterian Church in America. Congregations who could hear the truth of the Word of God in that same way. I give you this background of Palmer's sermon on Farewell Sunday, not because I want you to learn the church history lesson so much, but rather that you sense the confidence that you can put in the Palmer's interpretation of the Ark of the Covenant. You say it's a lot of homework right now. Palmer preached that day. The Ark is a type of three things. First, it is a type of Jesus Christ. So as God spoke from the Ark, so God speaks to us by Christ. Secondly, there is a type of the Church of Christ. For as the Ark is the preserver of the two tables of the law, so the Church of Christ is the preserver of the Scripture. Thirdly, the Ark is a type of the ordinances of Christ. For as God did communicate Himself by the Ark, so God, by His ordinances, communicates His counsel, comfort, and grace to his people. I believe fully that Calvin drew these three types properly, especially since the nice chapter of Hebrews includes the Ark of the Covenant as one of those elements of the sanctuary which are properly Christian types. Now, as much as I would love to expand on all three of these types for you this morning, I want to call our attention to the second one, that of the Church of Jesus Christ. And now as we examine the problem of Uzzah's death in our scripture this morning, we're going to see the proposition that since God has set forth particular instructions for His people to follow in the church, He would discipline those who fail to follow them and prosper those who are faithful in carrying them out. First, let us see from the typology of the Ark that it is God who has set forth the instructions for His people to follow in the church. Now, even von Däniken has admitted that for us. He pointed out how easily we could turn to the Bible and find those detailed instructions.
16, Exodus chapter 25, if you want to turn with me. There, beginning in verse 10 and running through verse 22, you'll find these detailed instructions. There's no need to read all of it. But let's read just the final verse of that section, verse 22. And there I will meet with you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give you in commandment unto the children of Israel. I think we can see very clearly that just as it was from the ark of the covenant that God communed with his people, so it is today in the church that God meets with his people. It is in the church that his commandments, the scriptures, are deposited. And as our confession of faith puts it, unto this church, Christ has given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and does by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto. You see, my friends, it is in the church that the ordinance of God, which includes not just the sacrament, but includes the preaching and the teaching of the word, it is in the church that God makes these things effectual. This is what the typology of the Ark of the Covenant is meant to show. The importance of the church in all things involved with the Word of God. Not only did God make specific instructions as to the formation of the Ark of the Covenant, but he also laid down some specific ways in which the Ark was to be moved about, transported from one site to the next. And certainly the church, like the Ark, does not exist in one single particular place, one temple, one building. But no, the church is where the people are. We are the church. And so God told Moses how the ark was to be cared for by the people, wherever they were. In Numbers chapter 4, the chapter begins with some explicit instructions to the Kohathites. They were a particular group of priests, of Levites, and part of their responsibility was the care and movement of the ark. Numbers 4, verses 5 and 6 read thus. And when the camp sets forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. Very specific instructions. But I can almost hear you ask, what does all this have to do with the church today? I see all this rigmarole about the Ark of the Covenant. But what about the church? How is the Ark of the Covenant a type of the church in this respect? Well, God has given us, his church, some very explicit teachings in his word about the organization and care for that church. And that is why there should be a strong sense of adherence to the teaching of the Bible about everything we do. About worship, about stewardship, about Christian education, about missions, about all things in which the church is involved. God has given us careful instructions to follow in the church today, in the scriptures. And you and I are charged to seek our very best to carry them out. Certainly, this is never more important than it is in a general assembly. You see, there's a basic premise that runs throughout the scriptures that purity must precede peace, or there can be no peace. There can be no peace in the Northern Presbyterian Church in the 30s, and so a new denomination was born out of the need for purity. There could be no true peace in the Southern Presbyterian Church in the 70s because there was no purity. And so the Presbyterian Church in America was born. And there can be no real lasting peace in this church if it is not fully based in every area of its life in every part of its ministry based on the purity of the Word of God and nothing less. And nothing less. Now let us turn to see the result of the failure of God's people to follow His instructions in the church. We examine the failure of God's people to follow His instructions concerning the Ark of the Covenant. Turn back to our text now in 1 Chronicles 13. Here we see the result of that failure. It really looks so innocent on Uzzah's part. I mean, if you were driving the cart with such a precious holy thing on it, and the oxen pulling the cart stumbled, and obviously the cart was going to bounce and tilt and maybe tip over, wouldn't your natural reflex be to just reach up and steady the ox? And that's all Uzzah did. And God struck him dead on the spot. Seems a bit severe, doesn't it? Why was God so displeased that in verse 10 tells us the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah? I think to find our answer specifically, we're going to turn over two chapters to chapter 15, verse 2. And here, months later, finally, David figures out what went wrong. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." You see, part of the problem was that David, as well as Uzzah, had broken the commandments of God by using people who were not Levites to move the ark. And so David was disciplined by having to wait to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And Uzzah was disciplined even more directly. But really, his sin was no worse than David's. He, too, failed to follow the ways of God and reached out to touch the ark when he should have known full well the Word of God said not to do it. We must understand that Uzzah's severe discipline was meant to be an example to others, especially to David. That's why it seemed so severe. Now, actually, this is one of many illustrations of God disciplining His own people. We could turn to several portions of the Scripture. The key one that comes to my mind is Moses, when he's dealing with the people, when they're crying out in their thirst, and God instructs him to go to the rock and speak to it and open it. And what does Moses do? He yells in anger at the people, and he remembers the power he had in his rod, and he smote the rock twice to bring forth water. Clear act of disobedience to the instructions of God. And what happened? The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." And believe me, that was a severe punishment for Moses. Think about that. After that great wait in the wilds of Egypt, the battles with Pharaoh, the encounter with God at Sinai, leading the people for 40 years in the wilderness, Moses had to stand on the east bank of the Jordan and look over and see that land flowing with milk and honey to which he had led his people. And because he once lost his temper and disobeyed the Word of God, he was not allowed to cross that river. All because he didn't follow the instructions God had set for his church. Do you see that clear truth of Scripture? That God would discipline those in the church who fail to follow his instructions. Now, in our day, we don't expect God to act with quite such supernatural things. Not that he doesn't perform miracles. We're just not standing around expecting them. The way God does act today is through the method we refer to as church discipline. For this, too, is instructed to the Church of Jesus Christ. And so the Presbyterian Church in America, as a Bible-believing and obeying church, has its own rules of discipline. Just a few lines from these rules to help us understand. Discipline is the exercise of authority
given the church by the Lord Jesus Christ to instruct and to promote its purity and welfare. The exercise of discipline is highly important and necessary. In its proper usage, discipline maintains A, the glory of God, B, the purity of His church, and C, the keeping and reclaiming of disobedient sinners. And so it's important to us today to understand clearly the need for purity and godliness in the church. It's important for us to understand that these things are relevant not only to our own spiritual welfare, but to the very effectiveness this church may have in the world. Brethren, we must never fail in our requirement to administer proper biblical church discipline in the Presbyterian Church in America. But now quickly, let's turn that coin around and not only see that God would discipline those who fail to follow His instructions, but see that God would prosper those who obey Him. In 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13, David is reminding the people of how they've been wrong. "For because you did it not at first, the Lord our God broke upon us because we sought Him not in the proper way." David recognizes that the discipline of Uzzah was for the good, for the edification of the people. And so starting at verse 14, here are the beginnings of obedience to the Word of God. "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." Now let's not read all the details. Look down at verse 25. "So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams." And here we see immediately the blessing of true praise and worship to God coming behind obedience to the commandments of God. And so, if the Presbyterian Church in America would be obedient to the careful instructions to the Word of God on all matters, then we too will receive those blessings, will make themselves evident in our praise and our worship. And the blessings will be such as the Lord gave to the church at Philadelphia, recorded in Revelation chapter 3. "Because you have kept my word of patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth." Because you have kept the word. This is the blessing. This is the approbation which this denomination, which every church must want to hear. But to hear it, we must be diligent. We must be careful. God has given instructions for the care of His church in matters of organization, in matters of finance, in matters of doctrine, in education, in carrying out mission, in the whole realm of Christian life. And we must follow those instructions. We must not reach out with our own human strength just because we see something that doesn't seem right to our own human mind, when we know it is the truth of the Word of God. We must not, I repeat, we must not steady the boat if God has instructed us to do otherwise. We must not fail to keep His commandments and the programs and work of the church, or just as surely as Uzzah and the people of Israel were disciplined by God, so too will we be disciplined. But let's not forget those great promises of blessing that lie before us, that flow abundantly to those who would follow His way. Let the Presbyterian Church in America fully become a true church of the risen Savior. Let the Presbyterian Church in America fully become a testimony to the world around us. Let the Presbyterian Church in America fully become a means of edification, of growth for her people.
as well as an arm to reach out into this nation and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the Presbyterian Church in America fully become an obedient church at every point, at everywhere. And then, and only then, may we expect to fully receive the blessings which God has promised to His people.